Tech and Talk Radio about all things all genders. This is Intravenous, live on CJSF 90.1 FM, discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through a feminist lens. Our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony.
Well, good morning and welcome to CJSF 90.1 FM. Intravenous is the program, and my name is Robin. I am here as your host for this morning. I was hoping that my guest that I had arranged last week to come in is still on their way, so we can talk about the survey that's going around to encourage SFU to be a little bit more proactive in terms of providing menstrual products and those kinds of things in more places for students on campus. So hopefully that will, like I say, pan itself out in the next little while. In the in between time, while we're waiting, we're just going to have a listen to this fantastic song by Chaka Khan. It is called "Women Like Me," and we'll be right back on Intravenous.
Don't take
And that was Chaka Khan with Woman Like Me. You're listening to Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio from the top of Burnaby Mountain, where we do broadcast on the unceded and ancestral territories of the Kwikwetlem, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh peoples. And as I had mentioned, I do have the coordinator of the Women's Center, Simi Dawali, in studio with me. Hello.
Hi. And it's Dolly Wall.
Dolly Wall. Yeah. Thank you for correcting me. Okay. I can sometimes see it spelled out in my mind, and then I'm like, that's not the way it comes out.
I mean, I wish my last name was Diwali, which is like the holiday. That'd be great.
It is the holiday. Oh, my God. Yeah. Maybe that's why I'm thinking about it.
I know. We're all there.
Lights and music and great food.
Yeah. We out here partying.
Oh, my goodness. Hopefully our conversation will be as charming as this. We're here to talk about menstrual products on campus.
Yeah.
Because, well, half of the population, generally speaking,
yeah,
needs these kinds of things for a good portion of our lives.
Yeah. Or you know someone who needs supplies.
Yeah.
It's just been an ongoing conversation. So I started like in the new year. So coming in, there is a business, like a local business called Isle. And essentially they supply out menstrual supplies. So that'd be like Diva cups, menstrual panties, reusable pads and so forth. So the Women's Center, if you're aware, do supply the general student demographic supplies in any given capacity to students. So we do our best to service anyone with menstrual supplies, periods, tampons on site. The office is open from like 9 to 5:30 p.m. And then the sub reception area carries like a smaller portion. SFU Surrey SFSS office does as well. But naturally speaking, students work on a 24/7 hour clock. So the regular 9 to 5 business hours don't really fit that need. And Isle, it's a very tenacious woman. And she reached out to all of the higher ups in SFU admin, as well as a few folks to the SFSS side, and was looking to, you know, start and pivot and add menstrual supplies in all the washrooms and non-binary spaces and any kind of like public space across all campuses, so not just Burnaby. And in true typical fashion, as things work here, it's a lot slower than we all anticipated. And it kind of trickled down to me collecting some data to kind of reiterate the needs of students. And we did most of the tabling and kind of looking for engagement in our survey for Clubs Day. So we've had like 50 to 60 students so far. But that doesn't cover like the 27,000 undergraduates and, you know, like over 5K in graduate students and PhD students and all of the lovely community members that exist in this lovely space. So just pushing towards more numbering and kind of get a data collection later in the fall. So look out for a table or an awkward individual with an iPad looking to engage in survey and dialogue. But nonetheless, despite the lower numbers, it's still apparent over, like, I think it was 52% of students still felt like they weren't able to access the supplies that they needed on campus. Which then kind of brought on the conversation of like, what are our next steps? Regardless of like the data pool that we got, that's still, the data in itself presents an immediate like lack of resources for students to feel like they're able to completely access needs at the way they need to, right? Mm-hmm. In regards to supplies, and the center can only supply so much, and at some point, like I gotta leave the campus, so these things need to be tackled and addressed. So the main push now is just to get the higher ups on the admin side on SFU to take this as like a wide initiative, because one center can't cover the cost of all students, right? And I think it's a great initiative that SFU could get behind and kind of launch and make their own, because we provide so many other wide variety of services for students in distress or just recreationally anyways. That being said, yeah, the initiative kind of came after because UBC had shown interest in the long run. So the CEO of the company was like, well, if UBC is going to do it, why not SFU? And that's kind of where the conversation started earlier on this summer. And that's kind of where I'm at right now, just kind of collecting numbers and trying to get all the big wigs in SFU to join me in this great initiative.
Yeah. Well, and it is a great initiative. It harkens me back to a conversation that I had probably a year and a half ago with some folks who were part of the United Way's campaign about period poverty.
Yeah.
And the BC Students.
Some long acronym, probably.
It is a long acronym, but they're like the student network of students across the country,
and
BC's branch of who that is, and then the archivist, I think, for that organization. And it was a really interesting conversation because. I think this idea of period poverty, which is kind of what we're talking about, but not quite, right? Like it's people being able to access the products, which let me tell you, they're expensive.
Yeah, this like economy of 7% increase in living in general is annoying,
you know, and for students who are living on a shoestring budget anyways, and, you know, having to shell out however much money once a month if you use disposable products, and then if you use like a Diva cup, or want to get yourself a supply of absorbent underwear, they're not cheap.
No, that they're an investment. I mean, like we do hand out the Diva cups, but they're retailed at like $45 to $50, mm-hmm. which, like, I mean, if you're taking a 5-year longevity, that's like pretty reasonable, but you being a student and the budget's not being so flexible, and tuition and just existing is expensive in Vancouver, and I'm sure we all feel that across the board, in different age brackets and life walks and stuff. So yeah, it's unfortunate, and I definitely feel like this is a solution that is long term, and it's accessible to anyone that needs it, whether you're the one who needs it or you know someone, right? So it's just another way of looking out for one another and making sure the clean resources are provided. And we're not all students on SFU as well either. There's community members and, you know, patrons that have been here for decades and have families and so forth, or not, and you're just kind of chilling up on the mountain. Regardless, those services should be free. In my humble, radical opinion, you shouldn't be making profit off of a monthly pain period for half of the population. So it's just kind of been a lot slower than I'd like it to be. So if any of you see me tabling or any of my volunteers, just kind of like spend the extra 2 minutes, just fill out the form, and we will have it out in newsletters, and I'm trying to push it out into different avenues, so that a wider range of students have their say, because it definitely should reflect the students' needs and wants. And again, it's not pushing for just a Burnaby campus resource as well. It's Vancouver and Surrey, because we have three other campuses, three different ecosystems that require a lot more attention and services too.
Mm-hmm. Let's have a little song break and then come back and talk maybe about numbers that SFU's looking for. Like, you know, what is that? What does that really mean?
You know, I ask myself that every day. What do you mean? What numbers?
You came in and recommended a song, which I think I pulled up the right one. Do you want to introduce it and say what we're
listening to? Yeah, so Nej Paro. If you've been on TikTok, it's been a pretty popular audio to do all the cool as the youths do it, basically. But she's a great Middle Eastern artist, and I feel like given like where the current temperament is and the platforms that we use, I'm definitely trying to highlight and showcase other types of music and female performers. And she's quite up and coming. She's been around for a while, but I feel like the TikTok trend has definitely elevated her platform a bit. But it's a cool song. Give it a listen. Borrow.
ma bonté m'a fait défaut. Est-ce que je dois méfier de toi plus que les autres? Ton cœur me veut, mais tu ne me dis pas les choses. Tu ne me dis pas les choses. Allô, 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 LB, LB, je deviens paro, paro, paro. Allô, 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 LB, LB, je deviens paro, paro, paro. Pas de ton empathie, chérie, je veux pas du minimum. Fais de moi ton allié.
Ton allié.
Même si la vie t'a bousillé, laisse-moi le temps, je vais réparer. À deux, ça le fait mieux. Toi et moi, c'est le feu. Mais te suivre, c'est dangereux. Je pouvais pas trouver mieux. On me dit que t'es pas sérieux. Me prends pas pour un jeu. Est-ce que je dois m'effiler de toi plus que les autres? Ton cœur me veut, mais tu ne me dis pas les choses. Tu ne me dis pas les choses.
Allô, 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 LB, LB, je deviens paro, paro, paro. Allô, 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 LB, LB, je deviens paro, paro, paro. Allô, 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 LB, LB, je deviens paro, paro, paro. Allô, 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 LB, LB, je deviens paro, paro, paro. Allô, 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 LB,
locally grown foods is a major component of food stability in our region. The City of Burnaby Farmers Market is the place to find locally grown conventional and organic produce and get some prepared foods while you visit. So every Saturday from now to October 29 at 10 a.m., 4949 Canada Way at the Burnaby City Hall parking lot.
And you're back with Robin and Simi on Intravenous here on CJSF, Campus Community Radio from Simon Fraser University. Simi's the coordinator of the Women's Center here on campus, and we're talking today about a survey that will bring data to the SFU administration to implement a program of menstrual products being made available to the students on campus that need that kind of support and provisions. Call them provisions. and so just in the break, while we were listening to the song, I had asked Simi, what do you think the kind of numbers are that SFU is looking for in order to feel like, you know, what they're using as data or what they're relying on as data might be the thing?
Yeah, I think it's like a tricky question with numbers, because like I'm pulling up an email that I was having a conversation with the person that I'm kind of working spearheading with it. And then UBC did a similar campaign, and they had about 470 of their student demographic indicate that they were not satisfied with the inability or inaccessibility of period supplies. But like teetering in, this would be reusable menstrual products, right? So it's to reduce the wastage that we're contributing to the climate, as well. So it's like two birds, one stone, right? We're looking into period poverty and the inaccessibility for students, but also looking in like an eco lens of it and trying to diminish our overall global climate footprint that we, you know, are all contributing to as a collective society. So they got like 470, and we're at like about 42 respondents currently. So my goal is to definitely either match that number, but given how wide SFU is, it would be fair to want to get between like 2,000 or more, just to get like a pretty wide variety of community members, different levels of education, years, you know, and so forth, just to get like a better encompassing. And I think that's going to be an ongoing project, right? Like, you're never really going to be satisfied with the pool of data that you've gotten until it's wide and big and so forth. But with the 41, what the overall summary was, over 70% of students said that they were unsuccessful and tried to obtain menstrual products on campus. 70%. 90% said they would like to learn more about the reusable menstrual products. So just like people are curious. And then 97% said that they would like to receive free usable menstrual products. So students being students, we want free things. And we were kind of, Robin and I were talking about like how you would go about it, right? Like how would we get SFU admin to collaborate and just kind of like make this a wide accessible pilot project of sorts. And the interesting part is, and I feel like the stars have aligned for them in this way, if they did choose to do this project, there's a big initiative project called the Period Poverty Task Force, which is, they have like a budget of $22K of grant funding available through United Way of BC for short-term community-based pilot projects, testing out models for increasing access to free menstrual products within BC. So this is an ideal opportunity to get funded and provide reusable products and create a research to understand the impact. And the deadline is November 4th, so it's coming up. If we get like an interest, why not, and kind of go with it. And honestly, even if all the internal stakeholders on the SFU side doesn't, perhaps this becomes like in true typical fashion, not-for-profit project, to see if this is something that we could just, you know, egg on and push on later, if the pilot project in itself kind of takes off, right? Yeah, I feel like either way, I'm going to try pushing it, and then best to try, right? If you don't try, then you don't know. Mm-hmm. And if the pilot project is success and SFU wants to make it theirs, I by no means cares like who owns what project or whatever, as long as at the end of the day, students kind of get what they need, is the end goal. No one needs to take, they want the credit and the shiny gold star next to it. Go for it.
For sure.
Yeah, as long as, you know, we have stuff to give out.
Yeah.
That's all that matters. And I think that the latter might end up happening more than it being proactive. I feel like most of these initiatives will always be student folk like led and from like a little small student group. And then eventually, as it kind of picks up momentum, all the bigger higher ups kind of chime in later on.
It's the way of the world.
It's the way of SFU.
You know? A small radicalizing, if I can use that term in this way, but, a small group who sees that there's a need for change, kind of rallies it up and as it sort of catches fire, the bigger and more powerful go, oh, that's a good idea. I'm going to own that idea. Yeah, I'll take ownership of that idea.
Copyright it.
And then we can radicalize about some other thing that is necessary and needed. I have a, you know, as you were talking there, and I was just thinking about all of the various students who have come through CJSF, either as student volunteers or sometimes work experience people, and we get interns from, you know, other places, other countries that come in and work with us. And, you know, when they're female identifying and have a uterus that menstruates, sometimes they're just in need of period products. And so I always know that the Women's Center is
the spot,
the go-to, right?
Yeah.
But it's so interesting. And what it really makes me kind of think about is that there's still this reticence about speaking about our periods. It's not something that we're getting better at it,
yeah,
but we're still not great at it.
Yeah.
And it's still something that, you know, is sort of shrouded in a lot of shame and secrecy and whispers, you know, do you have a pad? Do you have a tampon? You know? Yeah. And so collecting this data from students and engaging in that conversation is already a difficult conversation.
Yeah, I feel like it's interesting because it is and it isn't. It really depends on the type of students you're talking. I find the younger demographics, so the 19-year-olds, the 20s, and so forth, Gen Z, we out here, y'all are wild, love you. They're very, like, to the point, right? There's no shame. This is my body. It impacts myself and whoever's involved in my life. And that's the attitude I kind of grew up with as well. Like, I come from a culture where we don't really talk about it, but in my household, I was like, well, it's my problem. It's your problem. We live together. We share a space. I'm going to complain about it. And anyone that walks into the Women's Center too, like men, women, non-binary folks, whomever, they're not ashamed to go in and grab it. They're, if anything, I feel like even our partners, so any cis man that comes in, are more than eager to supply up and kind of offer it. A lot of the younger gentlemen now have like little, like, you know, baskets and care kits in their own respective like bathrooms and areas for their female friends and partners and so forth. So I feel like there is that shift, but the people in between, so like millennials or like, you know, as we kind of go up, I still feel like, yeah, it's a lot harder to have that conversation. And the weird thing is, like, everyone that's in power in SFU as well as like the higher ups in SFSS as well, aside from the student boards, like, are a lot older, right? And that's where the conversation of data collection to represent student voice comes into, right? But I find the adults have a harder time talking about menstruation than students do, really. And it's great to see that change, but it's also unfortunate because it's not students in like a VP role. It's not students who are in charge of student engagement. It's not students that are like, you know, holding actual director, program manager roles, you know, in that way that we're supposed to represent the student body. And that's not like a call out to anyone or like, you know, me being contentious. I just feel like when you're older, you get so wrapped up in your own like agendas and your call to actions and your day-to-day projects that like when something new comes on like this and you're like, well, I don't need to talk about periods. Like, don't we have that? Don't we have a women's center? Also, like, I only have one office in Burnaby. I don't even have spaces in Surrey or yet. I don't yet. If this radio channel can get the rallies together, I would love for a big push to get like small spaces within the other two campuses. At the very least, students should have access to a women's center in all those spaces so they can come into the space and grab whatever they need to or have a friendly face to walk them through XYZ, right? That's just me being very ambitious before we go into the new year. I'd like to have those, and I hope in my tenure I do get to that point. But for now, like, you know, yeah, if I can make my life a lot easier and team up with someone else who's offering me help and resources to get that, why wouldn't I want that? Right? Change doesn't come within one person. It's a collective, collaborative effort.
Yeah, for sure. So encouraging that the young folks are,
yeah, you know, out here. No shame.
Super willing to just lay it on the line, right? Just
like,
just,
it's a period, get over it. And you're like, yeah, that's fair.
yeah, totally. Cool. Let's take another song break here and listen to another track that you brought.
Yeah, I guess this is just Simi's like mind of like as of late. Yeah, Japanese Breakfast, really cute band. They opened for Florence. If you guys were at the show, holler. Yeah, enjoy the song. It's cute. And hopefully you guys like it enough to look it up and listen to more of it. It's called Be Sweet, right? Yeah. We'll be right back.
I'm Justine Willis-Toms, host of New Dimensions, heard Sundays from 9 to 10 a.m. on CJSF 90.1 FM. As you know, we are living in both challenging and exciting times, prompting more people to seek new solutions and to engage life more fully. New Dimensions explores vital topics with some of the world's leading thinkers, from science and religion to politics and medicine. Join me on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and together we'll explore New Dimensions on CJSF 90.1 FM, the station that is diverse, independent, and yours.
And welcome back to Intravenous. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, Campus Community Radio from Burnaby Mountain, where we broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 450 watts of community power and on the unceded and traditional territories of the Coquitlam, the Musqueam, the Squamish, and the Tsleil-Waututh peoples. My name is Robin Erickson, and I am the host of the show today. With me in studio is the coordinator of the Simon Fraser Student Society's Women's Center, Simi, and we've been talking about a survey to gather data on period needs and I'm looking for a particular word that is, you know, fleeting at the moment, but that's normal. just, you know, sort of what students on campus need and what their sort of thoughts are about accessibility to menstrual products are, so that SFU might implement a program of sorts that would provide more access, because right now it's very limited. Anything that we've kind of missed about the survey? Where might you be tabling, or where can people get the survey?
Yeah.
How can people listening?
Yeah, I mean, the easiest would be like swing by level 200. Office 2220 in the Student Union Building. Take the stairs or the elevator and come into my office. We have like a little flyer outside of it or inside. You can scan it on your phone and it's like a 2-minute survey. We will be tabling in November. I'm still figuring out the bookings of it, but it'll either be by the go desk or the social stairs. We might table around other parts of SFU, or I might just print out a bunch of those flyers and kind of put them in the respective spaces. Health and Counseling is also going to help me release it into their newsletter. The Simon Fraser Student Society monthly newsletter will also put a blast out in November. The relative student groups, so SOCA, DNA, FNMISA, will also do the same within their own newsletters and their social media platforms. But this will be just ongoing. So if you want to put your 2 cents into it, the door will never be closed. You can always come by. And hopefully as momentum kind of increases, I did put out flyers in SFU Surrey. I have not been to Vancouver just yet, so I will probably do that sometime on my own in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, really it's accessible by all the mediums that we have so far. And hopefully as momentum kind of increases, we can kind of infiltrate SFU groups, like other admin teams, and then they start kind of sharing it internally as well. But yeah, and as for tabling, most likely within the sub, probably around Convo Mall in November and other parts, probably the AQ. And again, follow us on SFSS Women's Center IG, and I'll have all of our information and everything there, and whenever we're tabling or where to expect us in and around campus as well. Yeah, or shoot me a DM. I'll email it to you if you really want it.
And is there a deadline on when the data?
Yeah, I think we're thinking of end of fall semester, just to see how big or if we can get to 200, 300 students within that period, it'd be great. And if we need more data come spring semester, we might just revise it and tweak it and kind of go from there. But I feel like if we can match UBC number, like 400 would be great. If we could do a bit more, would be awesome. But I also know students are always at capacity, so I'm not going to bother you too much if there's a bunch of students listening right now. But it would be great. So I just kind of slip it in every single time I'm in like lecture halls or having conversations with large students anywhere, really. Be like, hey, I have that survey on my phone. Do you want to scan the QR code and do it? So that's how I've been doing it.
Great. Take this opportunity to voice your needs with the Women's Center about period products on campus. It, you know, depending on what year you're in, it might not make a difference to you now, but it will make a difference, hopefully, to students who are, you know, up and coming in the years after this, and in a long-term way.
Yeah.
So, we'll just cross our fingers and put the footwork into it, right?
Yeah.
So changing gears a little bit, we were laughing, not laughing, during that last song break about Simi's role as data collector now, and you've got a new project kind of brimming on the horizon that is. Pretty serious, I would say.
Yeah, I would. I'm quite, quite passionate about it. Yeah.
Pretty serious.
Yeah.
Do you want to sort of tell us about it and preface what the...
How it kind of came to be.
Yeah.
So this goes back, like, I don't know if it's common knowledge yet because of the new student waves, but the Women's Center used to be in the Rotunda community. So we used to have a 24/7 hour space with the center. And a lot of students used that when they were doing like late, like study sessions or during finals week, or even when I was in my undergrad, precarious situations when you're in between places and you need a temporary housing. And I say this because we do have a lot of not-for-profits and other spaces in and around Vancouver and Burnaby in the Lower Mainland. But if you really look at it, being in the role now, unless you're an immediate threat or if you're dealing with addiction and alcohol or substance abuse, low-income barrier housing, it really diminishes your pool of resources. If you're just like a student who, out of precarious situations, was displaced out of your living situation, whether that be with your romantic partner, whether that be because of emotional and mental manipulation, whether that be like your precarious family situation. Everyone comes from very different walks of life, right? So there's no real one answer. But if you don't fit the definition of what crisis is in those spaces, your pool is reduced significantly. And this goes back to us feeling the hurt on our wallet, but more on students. Like, cost of living is more expensive now. Post-pandemic, everything's up. We're heading towards a recession, so everyone wants to make a dollar. Landlords are more particular, right? There's more limitations as a student, like a credit card check, looking at your jobs, stubs. And if you're running away from home and XYZ and you don't have that, that again is like a barrier, right? I've dealt with international students too. So international students, I'm not sure if it's common knowledge, but just to kind of lay the land, they're confined to a student visa, right? So although there's a new move that uplifts the 20-hour work limit on student visas, but if you're a student who finished your undergraduate degree and you're changing to an open work permit, your status is reliant on that, right? So if you're waiting for an open work permit to get a job, and let's say you may or may not have the funds, or your contract and your lease is up and you're looking for a new place, all these landlords that look at international students are like, well, do you have work? But if you can't legally work because you're in transition and waiting for open work permit, and the current wait time is about 148 days to 220 days. So setting that stage, because the government is in a massive backlog, like, what do you do? Right? Where do you go? So this was an ongoing pressure point on my part, because the summer and coming into the fall now, my cases of student homelessness, which is a real problem, believe it or not, students who do pay for tuition can be homeless. It's a reality for many. And I say this like with personal experience on my end too. So who do you go to? I went to the Women's Center back in the day, right? Because we had that space and it was temporary housing for a few days, maybe a week or two, and they were cool with it, right? We don't have that anymore. So what do, right? I've been really lucky. I know people in community where I was able to help with students and kind of like work together. But even when you're looking for a new place, it takes about 2 to 3 weeks minimum. So you're homeless for
if you're lucky,
right? If you can afford it on your own. But if you're looking at other roommates, you're confined to other people's needs and wants of what they're looking for in a space too. And they're not necessarily going to look at you worrying about you being homeless, right? And how long are you going to crash at a friend's couch for? Right? Everything comes at a cost, right? Nothing is free, is how I see it. So yeah, that started as a conversation, and I've been kind of speaking into the space for a very long time and being like, what do I do? I've been lucky, I've been finding solutions, but there's no way I'm going to continue riding on this luck. At some point, it's going to catch up with me, right? So that's what the conversation of like student homelessness. Is there pre-existing data from SFU under undergraduate membership where I could access and kind of look at the numbers and see if this was even a conversation at some point, right? We're doing the whole What's Next SFU campaign. And it was an open-ended survey and people can kind of put their 2 cents into it. Alumni and community members were also included. So my curiosity was like, people must have talked about it. Can I access it? That's all I want is like, is the data there? If it is, how can I make a survey to fit that, like those a little bit better, to capture data a little bit more, right? This goes back to me convincing SFU collaboratively to create spaces, not just in Burnaby, but in Surrey and Vancouver again for students, right? And this is not a shot in the dark again. Like I am a big believer in these big issues collaboratively. People need to come together despite your differences and how you logistically look at things. But at the end of the day, the students need services, right? And why am I having this conversation? UBC has this. They have a crisis emergency housing service. It may not be grand and like huge in any way, but something, right? And you can always grow off of it. And SFU doesn't have that. And I cannot get my head around it. Like, how did we get this far in this time? And my heart goes out to students in precarious situations. And when you leave them hanging for too long, like, they end up doing very precarious things to survive, right? We're just enabling more problematic situations, putting people in very precarious ways, whether that's a detriment to their mental health and physical health and their community members. But that's risky behavior, right?
Yep. I always say that desperation creates desperate decisions.
Yeah. Survival.
Right? It's not the smartest way.
No.
Even though we have our smarts on, because I have also been homeless.
Yeah.
And yeah, you do what you can,
yeah,
in the moment to really survive, and it sometimes doesn't look pretty. And, you know, you're not always proud to put that out there. But there's a lot of shame around that. You know, we were talking about period poverty and, you know, how you know, sometimes we can't talk about that. But I think homelessness, it has a different flavor of guilt and sort of shame and silencing around it.
And that's a contentious conversation across the board. In all ages, and as it should be, but student homelessness and the gentrification on food, those go hand in hand. We provide out free services for food, like we have snacks and stuff, but there's a sudden increase. Not only, okay, first and foremost, my beef here: Nestor's is our only food store
on campus.
We don't have a Walmart, we don't have a TNT, we don't have anything like for XYZ. So like these resources that we do have only take into consideration that students come from very like well income backgrounds, right? And for the most of us, like, we'd like to think that. But a good chunk of students just come here to survive because education is a better opportunity for them to do XY. You know, you're bringing generational poverty, you're bringing in change, you're an international student, you're living costs back home doesn't equate to how much we make over here. Like, there are more than one reasons why people come into post-secondary. It's not just for education. So it's like, you know, focusing on the services. How do we holistically combat the increase of living and eating, right? Those are fundamentally, everyone should be able to eat good and live in a comfortable, safe space without worrying about XYZ, right? Radical as that may be, nonetheless, is taking care of our people, right? We're here to take care of each other. So as Robin mentioned before, you may not be reaping the benefits of all these initiatives now, but you are making it easier for people to do better, right? It's not about equality, it's about equity. It's about accessibility. It's bringing those resources to people that you wish you had, but you can take part in now to bring, right? So do I have a survey right now? No, I don't. This is simmering. These are my anxieties coming into reality and me finally having conversations with people who are like, oh, I think I can help you with that. Let's figure this out. I think I have a name where I could probably connect you with. So it takes a community to create an initiative and it takes a community to execute it well. And I'm hoping if I just, prepackage all the solutions and put in a nice little box with a bow on it and be like, SFU, take it, take credit, put your name on it. I don't care, but do it. Right.
Yeah. It's interesting to me too, because as you said, the Women's Center in the before times, before the student groups moved into the sub here, we were all part of the Rotunda community, and that there was a 24-hour
safe space
that folks could access. And so I'm wondering if that without that space available to students, and especially students who access the Women's Center particularly, if you're seeing the need kind of under a microscope amplified,
yeah,
right? And
yeah.
So it's really becoming something that's like, oh, that was really serving a purpose that we knew was important, but we really know it now because we don't have it anymore.
Yeah, I find that some of the students that come are very angry about it, and I'm new in my role, right? So when they come, I'd be like, well, what happened? And I'm like, well, this is a lot more complicated and nuanced than I intended it to be. And I don't want to blame anyone, but I'm going to blame anyone. It was just because our lease wasn't renewed. Who owns our lease? Was SFU, right? They made that decision, and so be it. I'm not angry about it, but yeah, as it diminished, the new students come in, they're like, oh, my sister told me about this space, or like, my friends told me about this space. And word of mouth travels way quicker than any social media post or anything with students as it is, right? They can't one whiff of something free or like food. They out here. So the space in itself, was it a great space? No, it was kind of like low budget, kind of creepy. There were rats everywhere, but it was a space and a service nonetheless. And mine is just to make it grow, right? To do better, whether that's temporary housing, then we have some suites where people can come in, and it's a community effort to like keep the space clean and cook, and you live there temporarily until you're able to land on your feet and find a new lease or a new place to live at, right? That's the end goal, is inevitably. To say that this doesn't exist is wrong, because it does, but you need to know the right people and ask for and they're not readily available, and I'm hesitant to use like names or words because I don't want it to be like out there, because I don't control that, right? I don't control that resources. That falls into very like higher up people who make six figures and more than I do and like can control what they dictate as an emergency, and they'll help, right? But it's not common knowledge. And that becomes a gatekeeping situation.
Right.
Right. And then that's not a community like solution by any means. That's just one offhanded situation where someone just decides, oh, yeah, okay, I'll decide to help out, and I have this space for XYZ on campus. And again, that's not a person randomly listens to this channel. I'm sorry. But like, I'm looking at a holistic solution, not just a gatekeepy person where you by chance know a bunch of admin people and you know the right name and you're like, oh, maybe they can help me. But that's not a solution to a long-term problem, because not every student knows, right?
No, I wouldn't have a clue where to go on campus if that was, me in that situation. And as we talked about, it creates a lot of imprecarity and dangerous positioning and just, bad decision making in general, because that's what survival calls upon us to do sometimes. So Let's play another song, and then we'll just come back and you can tell people where the Women's Center is and how folks can find you again. And then we'll be out of here. Yeah.
Cool.
Ravina.
Ravina. R-A-V-E-E-N-A. And then song would be Close to You. Okay. Any of the songs that pop up would work. Close and then the number two, not the letter, like T-W. Yeah, there.
All right. Called Ravina, Close to You, to just take us out of the show. Simi, give us the directions to the Women's Center and all of the ways.
Yeah, no. So Burning Mountain Student Union Building between AQ, nice blends outside. That's kind of where the building's at. You can take the social stairs to level 200 where the MBC area usually is at. And you walk down that hallway, you'll see a big welcome sign. If you take the elevator, the big yellow ones, level 200, take a left, you'll see my door, you'll see it on campus's door, that's where you want to be at. Otherwise, you know, IG, SFSS Women's Center, follow us there. Someone's always on the inbox, but yeah, that's where you'll find us. Thanks for listening to me today. Appreciate it.
And your general hours of operation, kind of 9 to 5, 10 to 5?
Yeah, 9 to 5 for the center, and then 9 to 10 p.m. for the lounge next door. Whenever the sub closes, that's when that closes. But my hours will always be 9 to 5. And then Thursdays, I'm in Surrey this semester from 9 to 5. Yeah. just DM me. It's fine.
There you go. Yeah. And look for the Women's Center on campus. Look for the Women's Center volunteers tabling about the survey for period data. And stay tuned, because Democracy Now! Is coming up right like in a few seconds. Thanks so much. You've been listening to Intravenous here on CJSF 90.1 FM.